I'm Melissa Mitchell, and this is the Wandermint Warrior Podcast, the show where you will learn how to build an organic lead engine on YouTube, scale your business with video, and learn from some kick-ass entrepreneurs along the way. If you're ready to become the warrior in your business and live the life of your dreams, grab a coffee or a big bold red and settle in. We're all about simple, repeatable, and scalable business strategies over here. Hi, Laura. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy to have you here today. We are going to chat all about SEO on websites and specifically how you can actually use your YouTube videos to increase your SEO on your website. So do you want to tell our audience a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you so much for having me on today, Melissa. I'm really excited for the conversation. So I am an SEO strategist for female health and wellness service providers. And so I help folks grow their audience and fill their client roster without relying on social media.
That is such an important thing to do because as busy entrepreneurs, we do not have time to be constantly on every single social media platform. And that's why it's so important to leverage SEO, things like YouTube, things like your website, so that you can have that steady stream of leads and people and traffic coming into your offers and your business without you having to rely on that. So I love that that's like the mission behind your business and why we align so well. So can you tell everyone a little bit more about SEO on websites and a little bit about like the basic principles of why it's important?
Yeah. So SEO stands for search engine optimization. And I think it's important to really think about the title there because, you know, you focus on YouTube, which is a search engine. I am more focused on websites and Google, which is a search engine. But the principles are the same, right? So when we talk about SEO, these apply broadly to any search engine. I usually describe SEO as the art of getting Google to serve you up at the top of search results for relevant search queries. And you could just as easily translate that into YouTube, right? And I know we are going to talk a little bit more about websites today, but I just want your listeners to know that this is so relevant for them as well with their videos.
Are you ready to take your podcast to the next level? Whether you have an audio or video podcast, I want to introduce you to one of my favorite new tools, Riverside. I use Riverside for all my video podcast recordings, and let me tell you, it's a game changer. No more worrying about blurry video files. Riverside records each segment and guest in stunning 4K quality, ensuring your content looks professional every time. But here's the best part. Riverside makes it a breeze to quickly edit your episodes right inside the platform and repurpose your content. With just a click of a button, you can transform your recordings into engaging, custom-branded clips for your social media platforms. To get started with Riverside, click the link in the show notes below. And as a special offer for my listeners, use the exclusive discount code WANDERMINT, WANDERMINT, to enjoy 15% off your subscription.
When it comes to websites, SEO really stands on three pillars. So you want a website that's technically sound. And there's a lot of nuance there, but the easiest thing for like the everyday business owner to understand is your website needs to load quickly. So the technical things that make your website load quickly, you've got to have the right keywords and content on your webpage, right? Because those keywords are the language that connects your services to the people searching for them. And then finally, it's backlinks. And a backlink is simply a link from another website back to your own website. And that's a trust signal, right? Google sees other websites linking to you. It assumes those websites trust you enough to create that link. And so it borrows that trust.
I love that. And it's so simple, really, when you break it down into those three pillars, right? And sometimes I think that SEO and search engine optimization can seem like a very overwhelming thing. And I think that's why a lot of people push it to the back burner, right? They worry about their pretty website before they ever worry about SEO. And I see that happen a lot. And so when it comes to someone deciding they want to upgrade their SEO on their website, do you recommend a certain platform for them to use, like WordPress over Squarespace over Showit, or it doesn't matter and the rules apply to all of them?
So SEO applies to any platform. Google does not care what platform you're using. Now, that said, certain platforms have varying reputations for being quote unquote better for SEO. But I wouldn't recommend that someone, so there might be some nuance behind this question, but for the average business owner, I would not recommend changing their platform solely for their SEO. That's such a heavy lift, right? The first thing that I would have someone do is to just optimize the platform that they're on.
Great advice, because we all get shiny object syndrome of like, oh, show it's better or Squarespace is better and jumping. I've definitely been in that boat before where I think one's better than the other because we hear that so often, right? So I like that you're saying just concentrate on where you are and make it better with what you currently have, because I think that's so much more doable than thinking about restarting on another platform.
Yeah. You know, and I jumped, just to throw in this anecdote, I jumped, I started on Wix, I'm on WordPress now, but I decided early on in my business that SEO was going to be my channel, mm-hmm. right? And so that was a very, like, I think for most people listening to this, SEO probably supplements their other marketing efforts. And I decided in my business early on that SEO was going to be my major marketing effort. And so for me, it was worth moving to the platform that was going to have the most finely tuned SEO. But for most people, it's going to be very sufficient to optimize their existing website.
Right. That makes complete sense. So with WordPress, then, let's say someone has a WordPress website, what is like the very first things that you recommend if they're, you know, doing it themselves?
So the very first thing that I would look at is the words on the page. And when I do an intake with someone, I ask them, how do you think people are searching for you on Google, right? What do you think folks are typing into the search bar that should lead them to you? And many, many times, Melissa, those words do not appear on the website. So yeah. You have to think critically about how you actually want to be found and how your people are searching for you. Okay, so a common thing I see in the health and wellness space is people don't want to call themselves personal trainers, right? And so they make up all kinds of names, you know, coaches, fitness doulas, all kinds of things, right? But that's not what people are searching for. And so then you're not going to get found. So you really have to think about how are people searching for you and the thing that you do, and make sure those are the words you're using on your website.
Yeah, I think that's so critical, because that advice is the same advice I give for people when they're trying to figure out the names for their titles on YouTube, right? Is what are people searching for? Because like you said, sometimes we use techno jargon that's industry related that we only know, or we call ourselves certain things, and that's not what people are searching for. And then we're wondering why our SEO efforts aren't working. So I love the application of that on websites as well.
Yeah. I mean, like I mentioned at the beginning, it's all about any search engine, right? YouTube, mm-hmm. Google, the principles are all the same. Pinterest, you have to use the words that your ideal customer is using. And that's definitely like the lowest lift, easiest SEO strategy that people should implement first if they're optimizing, right? Is check out their language. The second thing I would have folks do is look at their images. Because Google prioritizes, as I mentioned, a fast website. And the number one thing that's going to slow down your website is giant images. And so if you're loading images like straight from your camera, straight from your phone, they're going to be very, very large. And so you have to compress those images before they get uploaded to your website. And so for most people, it's really a worthwhile exercise to download all the images from their website, like their homepage, their services page, their about page. Start with like your three main pages, compress them, rename them with keywords, and re-upload them, because it's going to have a major impact on the speed at which your website loads.
Right. I love that. And simple again. And are there tools that you recommend that can help you do this? Like when it comes to the keywords on your website, or when it comes to compressing images?
Yeah. So when it comes to keywords, the first order tool is Google itself, and using like the autocomplete. So start typing stuff into Google and look at what autocompletes, because those are indexed search terms. You can also look at the related searches that they recommend. The people also ask questions. Those are all indexed keywords and key phrases. A keyword can be more than one word, right? You can think of it more as a phrase. If you want to take it to the, like, just the, like, a half step level up, right? This isn't getting super technical. There's a plugin called Keywords Everywhere.
Yep.
That's amazing. And it's like $10 a year. for 100,000 searches and they're not paying me to promote this. Like, it's so good. And it will tell you for every single query you put into Google, it'll tell you how many people are searching for that every month and how competitive that search phrase is. And so it just gives you this next level of information to help dial in your search terms. And it also works in YouTube.
Yeah.
So I saw your face light up. So I was like, I bet you use that.
Anyone listening to this who's heard me talk about keyword research has probably heard me talk about keywords everywhere. So yeah, it works for YouTube. It works for your website too. So I love that you brought that up.
Keywords everywhere is amazing. Yeah. In terms of images, I really recommend that people compress them, making air quotes here, by hand. So what I mean by that is putting them into, like, on your Mac. I'm a Mac person.
Yeah,
so I can just pull them into preview. And I can reduce the pixel dimensions. I can reduce the resolution. I can reduce the quality. And they're still going to look good, right? Our photos are grossly oversized for the web. And you want to get them underneath 100 kilobytes, 100 KB, and then upload them. You can take your compressed images and put them into something like compressor.io or TinyPNG, and it'll give you like a couple more kilobytes. But you can't start with a photo that's like a megabyte in size, put it into TinyPNG, and expect to get out truly an optimized photo. It only does so good of a job. So I do recommend that folks actually use software on their computer to compress their images, and preview works. I use software called Affinity Photo, which is very inexpensive. Whatever your image editing tool of choice is, it's worth doing it by hand.
Right. Yeah, that makes complete sense. Sometimes those web tools are great for a quick fix, but they're not necessarily the best at making it fully optimized. So that's a really, really good tip for everyone listening to this. So do you have more tips for us, or is that kind of the main ones?
I'll give you a third one. Three is a nice round number. Okay, so we've already talked about like looking at the keywords and content on your website. We have talked about compressing your images. And the third piece of extremely low-hanging fruit is to fill out your metadata. And metadata sounds super jargony, but it's essentially when you go to Google search and you see how a website is presented to you there, there's going to be a page title and a description. That's the metadata, right? It's an SEO title and a meta description. And every single website builder gives you a space to specify that data. So in WordPress, it's usually a plugin. I use Yoast. All-in-One SEO is another popular plugin that allows you to do that easily. But Squarespace, Wix, they all give you a place to specify that information, and that provides context to Google as to what your page is about. And it expects you to fill that out. Mm-hmm. And your page will not rank as well if you don't fill it out. And so it's really low-hanging fruit. Just go make sure it's filled out, preferably with the keywords that you're targeting with that page.
I love that. Those are three very actionable tips that people can walk away from this episode and go to your website, go to the back end, and make sure that those three things are done. And you should be hopefully ranking better on Google after listening to this episode. So thank you very much for those tips. That's really, really awesome. Yeah. So now I want to kind of pivot this from, okay, so now basic SEO is done on the website. You know, blogs are like a really big thing right now. Obviously, that's more keywords onto your site to bring traffic to Google. But I want to kind of spin blogs into YouTube videos, because in my world, they're one and the same in a lot of ways, because you can create a YouTube video, transcribe it, and put it into a blog. So can we talk a little bit about the strategy from an SEO side on a site for that?
Yeah. And I just want to take a second here to highlight what you just said, because when I am advising someone on how to improve their SEO, one of the big, not low-hanging fruits, right?
Yeah.
One of the higher lift things is you have to create a knowledge base on your website. And I'm a writer, and on my website, my knowledge base is my blog.
Right.
Right. But it could be a podcast. Mm-hmm. It could be a YouTube channel. And so whatever your long form content is, you just have to bring it back to your website and you have to host it there. That should be like the hub.
Right.
So When it comes to YouTube and bringing that back onto your website, I think you are steering people in the right direction. Create episode pages and include transcripts. And if you want to take that to the next level, I would take a few minutes to optimize those transcripts a little bit, or those notes a little bit. So maybe at the top of the page, you include a summary with bullet points, right? Maybe you include timestamps that jump to the relevant section of the transcript to make that a little bit more usable. Maybe you break that up with subheadlines in which you can embed more keywords, right? But no one likes to read a huge wall of text. And so when I do look at podcast show notes pages or video transcript pages, and it's just literally an hour long episode transcribed into one big long block of text, I can assure you nobody is reading that. Mm-hmm. So to take a few minutes and make it a little bit more digestible for your users, but it also makes it more appealing to Google as well, because Google doesn't like to read that long block of text either. So I would definitely recommend embedding your video, creating like a bulleted summary, creating those timestamps, and breaking it up with subheadlines to make it digestible so that people actually spend some time on that page.
Right. Yeah, 100%. And embedding your actual YouTube video in there too, so you're making sure you're getting the watch time on YouTube as well as the traffic to your site. But I love that you made that really simple, because I've talked about, you know, transcribing your video, making it into a blog a lot with my audience. But I like that you said you could literally just put the transcript in there, pretty it up, and put some bullet points. And you can use AI to do that for you, like put your script in there and say, could you give me some bullet points from this? Add your keywords and you're done. Like, it really could be that simple. In the past, I've always talked about it as transcribe and then make it into a blog from there. Like, people don't read the same way that they listen or they watch. Yeah. And so changing it into more of a blog format, but that's not the only option. And I like that you said you could literally just use the transcription and pretty it up instead of turning it into more of a read blog. So there's two kind of ways you could go about this strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. You could definitely take that and actually spend the time to turn it into a blog format. And again, it's just two different approaches. But I think whichever approach you choose, make sure you're choosing.
Yeah.
Make sure you're doing one of those two things.
Yeah. And just like the simplicity of, it's your choice. It's your business. You can decide which option you want to do. And there's no hard and fast rules. It's about what strategy is better. It's just whichever you prefer. And I think we've chatted about this maybe off of this podcast before about, you know, there's a million different marketing strategies out there that you could choose, but picking the right one for you is really important. And so this is a really great example of that, right? Your website and SEO is your format. YouTube's my format. There's a lot of you listening that your format might be something different. The key principles of what we're talking about apply to a lot of different scenarios, but it's choosing your avenue, which I think is really, really cool.
Yeah. Leaning into your strengths.
100%. So I love those ideas. Do you have any other tips for video on your websites at all?
Here's a few things that I think are going to help your YouTube video support your blog a little bit better. So one is to include the URL of the blog post in the caption of your YouTube video, right? And so that way you are also getting a backlink to your blog and to that specific page from YouTube. So it's almost as if that piece of content is working double time.
Yeah.
For you.
Great idea. So in the description.
Yeah. And then the other thing is to just really keep in mind that your YouTube video can be found three different ways, right? It can be found within YouTube, it can be found within video search in Google, and then it can be found within your blog. So there's three opportunities to get that found. And I'm sure you talk to your audience about all the ways that they can optimize their video for search. But keeping in mind that that not only benefits you on YouTube, but that benefits you on Google as well. So just like all the same principles, right? Making sure your keyword is in the video title. I don't know if you encourage folks to rename their video files.
Yep.
So you can rename your video file with a key name, paying attention to the description, uploading the transcript and captions. All of those things that you do on the YouTube side are also going to help you get found in Google and support your website SEO as well.
Yeah, 100%. And what's really cool about, again, everything you are talking about is that if you're inside of any of my programs or you're in my world, these are all things I talk about on the YouTube side. So now all we're talking about now with you, Laura, is just adding your website as another arm that you're using all the same information and you're plugging it into your website. So it's not like a crazy new strategy that you have to go out and implement. It's really just taking that same information and plugging it into a new platform, which is amazing.
Yeah. Search engines are search engines.
Yeah.
Right. And so we're just doing what we can to make sure we appear at the top of those. And so you do whatever the property is, if it's your website, if it's your YouTube video. And so the strategies are going to change just a little bit. I mean, obviously in YouTube, we don't care about page load speed.
Yeah.
But the principles, which is to connect with the person behind the click, like those are the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I 100% agree. So what I want everyone to take away from this and why I'm reiterating it again is that it doesn't have to be hard. And I know that SEO, just like YouTube, can seem really overwhelming for people. And it's why they kind of have a barrier to entry, but it doesn't have to be. And so if you can take all of these tips that we're saying today and make a really smooth workflow for yourself, you can get all this done really fast. And like you said, Laura, now you're having three ways for people to find you really, really easily. And think about all the more traffic that you're going to get to your offers and to your business, which is absolutely incredible. So thank you for sharing those.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about your journey and like how you got into SEO, because I'm very curious.
Yeah. So I come to SEO with a background as a pregnancy and postpartum personal trainer and birth doula. And both of those businesses were built on SEO. And when I began those businesses, I didn't know what SEO was. And I stumbled into it accidentally doing the things that were driving traffic to my website and then going, how can I do more of this?
Right.
You know, when COVID hit and I had to take my personal training business online, I tried to do all the right things to grow an online business, you know, like be on social media every day. And none of it felt super aligned. But as I took my long captions from Instagram and published those to my website and started getting traction there, It's again, you know, I mentioned earlier, playing to our strengths, right?
Yeah.
I liked writing those long captions. I liked writing the long form content, and it was providing a result. And so I learned how to do more of that. And so ultimately, I was able to build my client base for both my doula business and my personal training business through Google. I didn't totally eschew social media. And I don't advise people to do that. I think it's important to like show up in multiple places. But my focus was really on my website. And I would say particularly in the personal training space, it's pretty unusual to grow a business with SEO. And so informally, I've been helping people with that over the years and decided to productize that last year. And that's where this business was born.
Amazing. I love that it came out of your own personal experience, because I think sometimes that's the best way to teach other people is like, I've been in your shoes. I get it. It was really hard. This is what I did to get to my success. And now let me show you how, like I've paved the way. And so I love that story a lot. So I know you have a free gift for everyone today. So you want to tell everyone a little bit more about what that is?
Yeah, so I am offering your audience a free keyword research guide called SEO Simplified. So it's a keyword research workbook that will help them understand how to identify a good keyword. It'll teach them how to validate that. It'll show them how to pair keywords with particular pages on their website, and it'll show them where on the page to use it. So it's a pretty juicy guide, but I think is really appropriate after listening to this episode, because it's going to help you choose those keywords for your website. And again, all those same principles apply. It'll help you choose the keywords for your YouTube videos as well.
Amazing. I love that. So I'll have that in the show notes below this episode. And if you're watching on YouTube, it'll be in the description below for you. And where do you like to hang out? Like, where can people contact you if they want to follow you and see more information from you?
Sure. So of course, on website first. So you can find me at my website, which is laurajawadmarketing.com. And you can also find me on Instagram at laurajawadfitness.
Amazing. And again, I'll have all those links below for everyone if you want to go and give Laura a follow. So to kind of wrap everything up from this interview, I always like to ask people one question, which is, if you could go back to your future self, you know, a year ago, what would you tell yourself? Like, what was the piece of advice you'd want to hear?
Oh, this is always a hard question, Melissa. I think it's that there's more than one way to market a business. And so maybe this isn't a piece of advice for a year ago. Maybe it's a piece of advice for 3 years ago. But I was so frustrated at the beginning of this journey, trying to fit myself into like the round peg of social media and online marketing. There's truly more than one way to reach an audience. And it really behooves you to lean into your strengths as opposed to trying to strengthen your weaknesses. And that's always going to be a better strategy.
I love that. That is a perfect way to wrap up this episode. Lean into your strengths, you know, use SEO, take all these tips, and no matter what form, if it's writing, if it's talking, if it's video, you can still apply what you've learned in this episode today. So lean into your strengths and get to work. And thank you so much for being here with me, Laura.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Melissa.
Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss out on future episodes. Also, if you enjoyed this episode, screenshot it, share it on social, and tag me at Wanderman Creative. I love seeing your favorite takeaways from each episode. Finally, it would mean the world to me if you left me a 5-star review. The more reviews I can get, the more people I can reach with this free content and help them scale their businesses and bring in organic leads with YouTube. I hope you have an amazing day, and we'll catch you in the next episode.